Well, wonderful Happy New Year to you, Crossroads Anywhere and Crossroads Oakley. You might be watching this right now. We're so happy you guys are here. Hey, we're going to start our time off by singing as loud as we can. So I want to invite you. We're going to start singing. That was fun. That was fun stuff. Hey, real quick, I want to know, man, are you expectant and excited about this upcoming year? We're in it right now. We're in 2017, Sophie. We're in 2017. It's good stuff. And you know, for me, I don't know what it looks like for you, but in 2016 and years prior to that, I keep a consistent journal. And I write down things that I've seen God faithfully complete, you know. He's been a part of my wife and I get in a house together. And he's been a part of my wife and I getting ready to start a family in 2017, which is just good stuff. It's good stuff. And my question for you is, what does your vision look like? It's easy to look back and kind of be like, oh man, in hindsight, you know? Or it's easy to look in the now, but what does it look like for you to look in the future? For God to be your vision? I wanna encourage you, we're gonna do this together. We're gonna sing and ask God, you know, for him to be our vision, for him to be the Lord of our hearts. So I invite you to just to sing this with the mindset of this coming year. Be expectant. Be expectant of God.
Give me clear eyes. You are worthy of.
God, if there's anything that I've found in my life over the past few years, it's that you are faithful, and it's that you are constant. You never change. So the fact that I know that you will always be by my side, that's what I look forward to in 2017, knowing that every step of the way, I'm going to be walking with you. God, I ask that you would be our vision. I ask that you would be a lighthouse, if you will. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Hey guys, welcome to Crossroads. I'm glad you're with us. My name's Matt. I'm the campus pastor of Crossroads Anywhere. You know, this is a special weekend for us. We get to all be together and kick off 2017 together. You know, Crossroads is one church in multiple locations. We have physical locations in Ohio and Kentucky, and this weekend's special because all of those buildings are closed and we all are gathered together via Crossroads Anywhere. You know, every weekend of the year, Crossroads Anywhere is the way for us to be connected no matter where we live in the country or the world. And as a result, our team now is all over the country and all over the world. It's a really exciting thing, and we're excited to all be together in one place this weekend. And I want to tell you about a couple of things that are coming up next weekend as we sort of officially kick off 2017 as a Crossroads family going into the new year. One of those things is an opportunity for us to get into a group. You know, I don't know if you're thinking about New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you already made one and broke one. For me, I'm thinking about how I can exercise more regularly. I've got two little ones at home, and this past year has just tanked any sort of discipline or habit I have in that arena. So I'm trying to figure out how to reestablish that this year. And I don't know what other New Year's resolutions you might have, but one that I want to add to both mine and your list is to grow spiritually. I think one of the most important things we can do this year is to invest time and energy and habits into our relationship with God, exploring who He is and what He might have for our life and how we might get to know Him better. And one of the really the best, not one of the best ways to do that is to be in a group, to be doing life with other people, to know people and be known by them, and to really dig in and follow God together. And you can go to crossroads.net/groups and realize how big of a deal this is around Crossroads. You put in your zip code, you put in a topic you're interested in, a passion area you have, and you're going to see a whole list of groups that you could belong to, people who you could know and do life together with. And if you would be more interested in coming to one of our buildings and joining a group, we have on-site groups. These are larger groups. They cover big picture topics like marriage and fatherhood and finances and being a mom. And this is a great opportunity to get to know people and grow in a very particular area of your life. You can go to crossroads.net/onsite groups and learn more about those. They actually start this coming week at all of our sites. So you want to go on. Signups are now open so you can get a spot and make sure you're a part of those in this current season. You know, the next thing that starts next weekend is a program we call Next Steps. So if you're brand new around Crossroads, you've been hanging around for a couple of months, and you feel like it's time for you to go beyond attending the weekend, you could join a group or you could come to Next Steps. Next Steps is gonna be a guide for you to figure out how to get engaged and what to do next around Crossroads. So we're gonna dive into what the mission of Crossroads is, what we're passionate about, the things we live and die for around here. And we're gonna then start to look at ourselves and go, how are we wired? What are our gifts? We're gonna create a personal growth plan in Next Steps class. We're gonna find out, based on how we're wired, where we might wanna get plugged in, how we might wanna serve, how we might contribute to being a part of the Crossroads mission of connecting seekers to a community of growing Christ followers who are changing the world. Because we believe all of us have a role to play in that. And church is a team sport. So Next Steps could be your next opportunity to get plugged in and go to the next place here at Crossroads. Again, that starts next weekend. There's one of these every month and they start the first weekend of the month. So go to crossroads.net/next steps, sign up and get more information. You know, all of these things that are starting next weekend, all the things we have planned in 2017, they require resources. And there's a team of us around Crossroads who are excited to generously fund these things. We believe God has called us some incredibly exciting things. And because God's been so generous to us, we get excited about giving to the vision that He's given us. And if you want to be a part of that team, you can go to crossroads.net/give, become a regular e-giver. You could do a one-time gift. If you're brand new and you're just checking us out, there's no dues required. There's no obligation to do this. You're welcome to participate, but we're glad you're here. And we understand that if you're on a journey to get to know God and us better, we're totally agree with that. So as we continue in our service, we're going to take a sneak peek to find out why this next January series is going to be awesome. Glad you're here.
Oh man, that is good stuff right there. Welcome, Crossroads, anywhere, wherever you may be, whether that's in Columbus, in Cleveland, in Dayton, in Louisville, wherever that, or in Cincinnati, in Florence. Yes, all of us have the opportunity to be in our pajamas today. That's right, if you live in the Cincinnati area and you could actually get to a stable crossroads with a building, this was a day where you're not a slacker to stay home, because that's all we're doing right now is celebrating the brand new year today with you. So it's awesome to be with you today. And here's what I'm going to do. I want to do a little processing of my life over 2016. Plato said that the unexamined life isn't worth living. And so what I'm going to model is sort of examining my life, and I want to encourage you to examine your life from 2016 so that 2017 can be the most potent year of your existence. I hope you believe that. It very well could be, but only if you do the proper examination of yourself and of your history. So before I talk about mine, why don't we just pray right now before we do anything else. God, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for being able to get us out of our normal routines. I thank you for freshness. I pray that this is a fresh thing for us today, and that you do a fresh thing in us, because we want 2017 to be the best year of our lives, and we don't want to waste the learnings of 2016. So help me to be helpful, and help me to be introspective at the same time. And God, you're a good God, and I'm thankful that you give me opportunities, all of us opportunities like this. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Examining our lives. You know, it's not Plato who really came up with this. It's all through the Bible. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 4, it says this: "Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord." Maybe we test and examine our ways and we find out that we haven't wandered from God. Maybe we test and examine our ways and we find out that we have wandered from God. Either way, you don't know unless you look deep into your life, into your predispositions, into your actions of the previous year. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says this: "Examine yourselves to see whether or not you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you realize that this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test?" There's people who go to church every weekend. There's people who read their Bibles every day or do spiritual and religious things all the time, and yet they have an unexamined life, and the holistic fruit of their life, according to this verse, shows that they're failing to miss the test. They're failing to exhibit a deep, vibrant relationship with God. And one of the ways that we know if we have a deep, vibrant relationship with God is if we go before God and open up our kimono and say, "God, cut me open and see if there's any way in me that needs to change, or any way in me that needs to be celebrated and needs to be amped up." I spend a good amount of time looking at personal things in my life. I hope you do too. I hope you look at where you are financially and what that's done over the last year. I hope you're taking a look at where you are relationally, whether you're married or whether you're not married. I hope you're looking back over your time with your employer and wondering and examining whether or not you're doing what you need to do to please the goals of the company that you're working for, and hopefully in due process earn more money and have more responsibility. We tend to do those things easier than the spiritual examination. And sometimes the spiritual examination, it isn't this mystical thing. It's just noticing periods of our life or major incidents in our life and asking ourselves, okay, what was God teaching me there? What was I learning at that moment? So when I think back on 2016, there's several things that were kind of big deals for me, or things that I sensed God was doing something, and I just want to tease those out a little bit, and if you get something out of this, great. So if one of these places that I've gone to relates to you, maybe God's using it to spur you to examine that in your own life, or maybe this is just something that helps you understand other things from your calendar that aren't related to mine. So here's a few things. One place I went to in 2016 is I went to recovery. I went to recovery. Now, in recovery, I don't mean alcohol recovery or chemical dependency recovery. By the way, someone told me recently that, you know, recovery is for quitters, is what recovery is for. And yes, it is. It absolutely should be. I'm not talking, though, about recovery from those classic things. I'm just talking about basic internal recovery of my humanity. This is respecting non-physical fatigue. I come from Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is a place that was built on the steel mill. And the steel mill mentality still goes throughout all of Pittsburgh, even though there's barely a steel mill there anymore. It's this blue-collar thing that values hard work, that understands blisters on your hands, that understands time spent on the clock. That physical thing is all through Pittsburgh. Actually, it's actually reflected in their football team, the Steelers, who every year, forever, has an incredible physical presence, one of the most physical teams in all of NFL history every single year. And it's because of the vibe that's in Pittsburgh about physicality. As a result of that, I tend to only understand physical recovery. I understand only physical bruises. I have a bruise right on my hand, right here. My dog's tooth went through my hand because I was trying to pick a tick off him right beside his eye, and he didn't appreciate it, and he bit me. Now, when I get this, and it was like really swollen up like this, when I get that, I can understand that kind of recovery because I can see it. I can touch it. But what I tend to not respect and understand are the elements of my humanity that are not physical in nature. Jesus understood that there are things about us that go beyond our mere physicality. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, 7, he says this: "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." It says, love the Lord with all your strength. So what's my strength? My strength is my physical abilities. But then he also says this: your soul, your heart, your mind. I'm not sure exactly how to separate what is the soul, what is the heart, what is the mind. I get the mind pretty well. You know, it's my intellect. You can be actually intellectually weary. I'm not sure exactly the difference between the heart and the soul. Maybe the heart is our emotional life. Maybe the soul is our spiritual life. I'm not sure exactly how to slice and dice this because there's other verses in the Bible that don't give us a really clear prescription of everything that we are in our totality. All I'm saying from this verse is this: obviously, if we can love God with different aspects of our humanity, then guess what? All those aspects can get tired. This last year, the first 3 or 4 months of 2016, I was just tired. I was utterly worn, slap out. I was still recovering from the end of 2015. In 2015, we had a campaign. We're still in a campaign. It's called the I'm In campaign. For all of us who are in at Crossroads, we've committed money above and beyond what we regularly give for 3 years to bless people's lives and reach people all over the country and all over the world, whether they're in poverty or whether they're just people who have to understand who God is. And whenever I'm in a campaign, it wears me down. I think I had 35 meetings at my house with various people. It wasn't just the meeting load that I had. It was the emotional load of understanding that if that campaign didn't go well, God's purposes in our church would be limited. It was also levels of feeling like if this doesn't go well, then maybe I'm rejected or people don't like me. Not all of that was totally healthy, but nonetheless, it was draining me. It was hurting me. I went directly from that campaign to Awaited, which that year I think we had, 30 shows. I mean, Waited for Me, it's like Groundhog Day. It just goes on and on and on and on. And there's just something about being in front of 3,000 people 30-some times over and over. It just wears you out. And so I came into 2016. Dude, I was like a zombie. I was like a zombie. And here's the worst part about it. I didn't even know what was happening, and I started feeling bad about myself, thinking, what's wrong with me? Am I losing my spiritual fire? Am I losing my spiritual zest? Do I not love God anymore? Because I don't want to go to work. I sit down to have time with God, a quiet time, and I can't even focus on a Bible verse. I just want to kind of go through the web and find anything on the web that isn't spiritual, because I'm just worn out. And then I start feeling guilty. Oh no, do I not love God anymore? Oh no, maybe my run is done. Doing what I'm doing at Crossroads, because I can't keep acting this way. I was hurting. And two things God did to help me understand that I was just in a place of recovery, and you might be too. One was, I just mentioned that passage I read. Another one was one of my favorite podcasts I listened to, called Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. And specifically, he's got a whole series on World War I. We talk about World War II a lot, but World War I is a crazy, crazy, crazy war because of the Industrial Revolution. Because just a couple years before World War I, there wasn't this amazing machinery that existed in World War I. And this amazing machinery, whether it was the tank or long-range guns or whatever it was, or chemical warfare, all kinds of stuff that was invented, wasn't on the scene, and so they were just discovering how awful our technology could be in the scope of war, and they had no clue how it would affect the average person. The German guns, we talk about German engineering, the German country leveraged their engineering, leveraged their technology to make the greatest guns the world had ever known and could have imagined. These are 15-inch guns that weighed 30,000 pounds, and they could hurl a shell the size of a Volkswagen Beetle 18 miles and have accuracy inside of 100-foot diameter. Just a few years earlier, the longest gun would be 8 miles you could shoot, and you couldn't hit anything. When they would fire these guns off, they would have the operators, they would go 300 yards away, they would stuff their ears with cotton, cover their eyes with cotton, and open their mouth before they blew the gun off, because the percussion, if they hadn't done that, it would blow out their eardrums. They were completely ill-equipped for this. And this is where the phrase shell shock come from. Because up to this point in warfare, they never saw people emotionally melt down like they did in World War I. And they just thought they were cowards. They would put a bullet in their head. Then when they started realizing, well, maybe they're not just cowards, maybe there's something physical that's happening from these guns, they would actually start putting them in mental hospitals, and this is what they called shell-shocked. And shell-shocked meant they believed that these massive guns and that reverberation, it must have done something to them physically. The reverberation did something physically that caused them to lose their mind. And they didn't understand, no, it wasn't something physically. It was emotionally. Guys spent the rest of their lives in a wheelchair, unable to function because they were shell-shocked, because they had a mental breakdown. Nothing physical wrong, meant because God has given us mental and emotional capacities. And so this year, I learned to embrace that I'm not just who I am physically, I'm not just who I am spiritually. There's other aspects that I have to take care of, and I encourage you to take care of yourself in 2017. Second place that I went to was to base camp. Base camp is a place where we do man camp and woman camp, and soon to be announced, couples camp. And base camp represents for me embracing the sustainability burden. Part of why I was also tired is while I love being a part of a church that starts a lot of things, when we start a lot of things, guess what we have to do? Sustain a lot of things. The energy is in starting something. Woo, yeah, let's do go trips. Awesome. Woo. Oh, yeah, CityLink. Great. Woo, woo, woo. Oh, yeah, let's go to AIDS hospices in South Africa. Yeah, woo, woo. Oh, man, homes for kids in India who've been abused sexually and we've rescued. Yeah, woo, woo, woo. Oh, yeah, let's start a new site down in over on the east side. Yeah, woo, woo. All these things are great, okay? But once they start, guess what? You got to sustain them. And guess who feels that sustainability burden more than anybody? It is myself. And so I actually start getting an attitude towards things that I've started because then I got to sustain them. Whatever great things, whether it's ocean, whether it's unpolished, whether it's base camp, whatever it is, it's those things. And this year, I kind of just said, you know what, while this wears me down and I need to recover from it, I need to stop thinking there's going to be a moment in ministry where the sustainability burden will not be there. The sustainability burden will always be there. Friends, let me tell you something. If you think that you're going to start anything in your life and not have to sustain it and not have that burden, think again. We just have to embrace it. And one of the ways that we embrace it is we see the upsides of things that God has done. The things that have happened at Man Camp are crazy. Thousands and thousands of guys. The things that have that same place at Woman Camp and Camp are crazy. Thousands of women, and this stuff, and you know, it's great when you buy that 435 acres of property, but then you got to have staff to take care of it. You've got to make sure you have the equipment to keep it up. You've got to make sure that you're doing just so many things over and over and over again. And I just realized, yes, that burden of sustainability is worth it. I got this story from one guy who came to the most recent Man Camp, and it's kind of freaky. I mean, some of you, if you're a little cynical spiritually, you may not choose to believe this. I think this guy's telling the truth. I'll just let him tell his own story in his own words. Here's what he says. First of all, when I dream of Jesus, he does not appear at all like the traditional images. He comes to me as a broad-shouldered, thin-waisted, dark-skinned man. Not black, but dark. His hair is short and curly. Not fine curls, but curly black. His beard is close, full, and black. He was always shirtless. I saw him while my heart stopped at the hospital while I was being brought back. I never have told anyone how I see him. Being from the South, I would have been hated. He told those pulling me down that it was not my time. He sees this as he's having a near-death experience. My prayer was to have Jesus appear in the flesh. He did. You do not have to speak because the Bible speaks for him. I thought if I ever saw this man, everything was true and his power absolute. Yes, I have faith and always have, and admittedly, it has subsided from time to time. Then this guy got baptized at Man Camp, and he says this, Sunday at the pond, I saw him. He did not get baptized, and I thought it odd that this man had no shirt on. He was a face, a body in the crowd. He looked up at me and turned and headed up the hill. I followed to make sure, but lost him. I'm sure he was there. This guy saw literally, physically Jesus, the only Jesus he had ever seen in his near-death experience, and he saw him after he got baptized at Man Camp. Wow. Tell you what, when I read that, I'm going, yes, I want to sustain that. When I hear of people starting marriages coming out of that, I say, I want to sustain it. People who are having a marriage that's reunited, I want to sustain that. People who are stepping into their womanhood, their godly womanhood, their godly manhood. I said, yes, that's worth sustaining. And so I've just made my peace with sustaining over this last year. In fact, leading into the third place I want to talk about, Maybe I would have started a Man Camp for only one guy. We started a Man Camp, a group of guys I ride with, and we started and said, let's just try to recreate things from a bike trip in a camp environment for guys, where there's camping, there's challenge, there's leaning on one another, there's God talk, all kinds of stuff, and we decided to do that. Our very first Man Camp that we ever did, there was a guy there who was running from God. There was a guy who didn't want to really be there, but his dad sort of forced him to go, and he went. That guy had his world rocked, turned upside down. That guy left Man Camp and decided to go to Crossroads Uptown, which was meeting in Bogart's, and just see what's happening and volunteer that day. That guy, that night, met my daughter, Lena Tome. That guy, that night, started a relationship that would end in him being my son-in-law. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. If I'm not a part of starting Man Camp, I don't have an amazing son-in-law right now. Let me tell you something else. That altered my family's trajectory, and I'm so thankful for it. And it all started with a still, small voice of God. It all started with an idea. I'll tell you what, there are ideas that God wants you to do in 2017, and if you don't do those ideas, your 2018 will not be what it could be. In fact, there were things that you could have probably done in 2015, but if you were in obedience to that thing, you're not happy with 2016. Never, ever, ever dismiss the prompting of God. Never, ever, ever keep from doing something you think that God might want you to do. And if you think that Jesus would approve it, then assume that it's something that needs to be done and do it. That's why I'm excited about keeping the sustainability. And that led to maybe the best thing I did all year. The best place I went to was Nick and Lena's wedding. Lena's wedding day. Trusting, this is trusting the very hand of God. Lena's wedding day, trusting the very hand of God. She was the very first wedding that happened at Crossroads Uptown. And on the steps out front, we have this classic picture. It's an awesome picture of our family, extended family. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. This is seriously the best day of my year. Hands down, the best day of my year and one of the best days of my life. And yet, I thought this would be the worst day of my life. Yeah. I remember when Lena was born way back 25 years ago, it was an unexpected pregnancy, and that's Libby's fault, totally her fault. I don't want to get more into specifics as to why it's her fault, but it is her fault, totally her fault. So we have this child, and we're just not ready to have a child. We weren't expecting a child, but bam, we have this child. And we have this child in this port in our life where we were in virtual poverty. At least the hospital where Lena was born viewed us as poverty, so we had her as charity care. We received charity care because we made so little money, didn't have insurance, that our delivery was paid for, which is a sign of the hand of God. Really, really good. But I was really hoping that first one for a boy. You know, most guys would like one boy or something. And like, if I could just get the first one as a boy and then it takes the pressure off, that'd be great. We were thinking it was going to be a boy. And Lena comes out, beautiful girl, amazing. Love her so much. And as I looked at her, the first thing I thought of, because I was in poverty, one of the first things I thought of was, crap, I got to pay for a wedding. Seriously. My daughter hasn't done anything. She hasn't pooped or peed yet. And I'm thinking, man, I got to pay for a wedding because that's what the father of the groom is supposed to do. So I've been virtually brainwashing her and my other kids from the day they were born. Hey, don't think about a big wedding. Don't think about it. It's not going to be like other people. It's going to be, it's going to be fun, but it's going to be cheap. Come on, it's going to be. I've been like tamping down expectations. And man, I was so surprised coming into that. I loved spending every dollar. I loved writing every check. I loved everything because the moment, the day of that wedding was so personal. It was so profound. And it was a matter of trusting the hand of God. Trusting the hand of God to bring her the right guy at the right time. Trusting the hand of God to provide the finances to be able to have that wedding. Trusting the hand of God for His ways in His timing. There's some things, friends, that we cannot control, but her wedding day helped me just trust in who He is and trust the future. Another place that I went that was very, very significant was to Lexington. Yes, Lexington. Also, Richmond and Georgetown. We have officially, financially, legally, spiritually become one with what was formerly known as Crossroads of Lexington. Crossroads, they're still the same name because we are now one. crossroads north of the Mason-Dixon line and south of the Mason-Dixon line. When I called my friend Glenn Schneiders and said, do you think there's a way that we should become one? And a crossroads up north of the Mason-Dixon line should adopt you all and become one church. You think that's kind of a good idea? Part of what prompted that was ambition. Ambition. Our oneness with that church, all of us being one now, 10 sites, is a sign of ambition. I know a lot of us, we don't like the word ambition. We think the word ambition is really, really ugly. James 3:16 says this, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. See? Disorder and vile practice. That's what happens when you got ambition. If you got ambition, it's bad, 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 bad stuff. No. But that's not what it says. It says where jealousy and selfish ambition. There is such a thing as honorable ambition. There is such a thing as godly ambition. And if you don't believe that, I know this is true about you. I know you're frustrated about your life. You and I have got to have a healthy level of ambition, a healthy level of discontent about where things are right now in order to take on more responsibility and get more things done in the future. And I came to wrestle with the beauty of ambition. Look at what the book of Romans chapter 15 says. It says this, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel. I make it my ambition to preach the gospel. Part of what led to us merging is Glenn Schneider's ambition to have his church be larger, healthier, and be one with us. And that's part of us as well, to have an ambition to say, hey, who says we can only stay in the Cincinnati area or up in Oxford? No. Or who says that we can only have home sites anywhere all over the country? No, why not have traditional physical sites in another part of the country? I've spent too much time with people who believe that following Jesus means scrubbing ambition out of your life. I've spent too much time with people who believe that the closer you get with Christ, the more you just want to stay in your prayer closet. I've spent too much time with people who believe that if you want something more from your life, then something is wrong with you. No, you have one life to live. You and I have one life to live. In whatever sphere or spectrum that God has put you and I in, we have the responsibility to wring every ounce of impact out of that. Whether you're a minimum wage worker, whether you're a CEO, whether you're a stay-at-home parent, wherever you are, you need to see where your place is, what more God could have you do in that realm, or maybe jumping to another realm. Friends, ambition is not bad. And if you lack ambition, you probably also lack a level of satisfaction about your life. Let's embrace that this year. I know I've embraced that this year. In terms of squeezing things out, another place I went to was Utah. Utah. Utah actually represents squeezing every ounce of life out of life. It represents not necessarily ambition professionally or increasing impact in your life. It just represents having a good time in life. I like to ride. I like to what's called adventure motorcycle ride. What that means for me is I like to get on my bike out someplace where civilization isn't, which generally means it's on dirt. And I like to camp with my friends so we're not around civilization and experience and explore things. And when I do that, while it's physically grueling, it's also emotionally and spiritually refreshing because I'm doing things that I normally don't do. I'm refreshing myself. I'm recovering in crazy ways. In 2015, a friend of mine, Dave Heidrich, after we were in some morning meeting together, I called him afterwards, and we were talking about getting older or something. I can't remember what the context was, but I do remember exactly what he said to me. We were talking about the bike trips that I take, and he said to me, yeah, you know, you only got about 20 of those left. I was thinking, oh, he's saying 20 and then I die, or 20 and my feeble body can't handle anymore. And I thought there for a moment, I don't know if 20 is the right number, but he's onto something. There are a finite amount of times when I will be able to do that. And I also thought about this last year on a great, great friend of mine, Art Schlemmer, who's older than I am. He said, man, my body just can't do it. My knees and this and that. He basically tapped out on some of the trips we've done. And it just made me understand that I won't be able to do everything that I'm doing right now, but while I can do things I'm doing right now, one of them being bike trips, I want to spend money on it. I want to spend vacation days on it. I want to jump into it. You might be saying, what does that look like? Well, here's what Utah looked like. Now, that might not be fun for you, but it's fun for me. It's all matters as long as I'm having fun. Ephesians 5 says this, be very careful then how you live life, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity to have ambitious passion in your profession, making the best, most of every opportunity to be able to take a great vacation if you can. The most of every opportunity, if there's something that you can start or something you can do that the very voice of God might say, make the most of every opportunity. Don't just drift through 2017. Make the most of it. Grab it by the throat. This is the only year I get to have 2017. And I need to squeeze every ounce of everything in it. 2016, the last place I'll just talk about was an opportunity that we had that, man, I would have never, ever, 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 ever thought that I could have done. It would have been my fantasy when I was in seminary learning things in the Bible all the way back in the Holy Land to have thought not only that I could go there someday, but that I could actually teach there and impact people by doing something I'd never done before, teach in Israel. That's the last place I want to talk about. I went to Israel, which is embracing new ministry opportunities. Basically did a reality preaching show in Israel, which I had never thought of before. In fact, somebody else thought of it on staff. Kyle Ranson thought of it on staff. Unfortunately, I got to participate in the idea. It was sweet. It was sweet. If you're going, what is that? I don't know. You can actually see that online. It's called Real Encounters. And this is a little teaser of what took place in that series. Crazy crazy physical thing, swimming where Peter himself swam to Jesus in a crazy story. Running down the hill that David ran down before he killed Goliath. Climbing a mountain that one of the ancient prophets, Elijah, had climbed. Man, these were, not just doing those, in and of itself was that amazing opportunity, but actually teaching from there. And this is really weird. I mean, if you would have told me just a few years ago that our whole church would love a whole series where there wasn't a single live communicator any weekend, I would have said, I don't know about that. I don't know. Some people think that different sites of Crossroads where there's video teaching doesn't work. It works. We just find it over and over and over again. And I might have even thought, well, doing a whole series where there's not a communicator on a stage, whether it's live or video, that's not going to work. No, we did an entire series, our most popular series arguably ever, and there wasn't ever a communicator on stage. It was all recorded in a separate location. I'm not saying we're going to do that all the time, though. We are working on our next idea. It's going to be pretty interesting, I think. It's going to be a ways out. But I'm saying that I need to tell God I'm sorry for limiting your ideas. I have a sort of a scope of what my life should look like or what my job should look like or what a church should look like. And God keeps expanding the bounds. He keeps pushing out the boundaries of what that is. I want to embrace new ministry opportunities. So I want to embrace in 2017, I want to embrace ministry opportunities like Crossroads expanding in different states than other than Ohio and Kentucky. I don't know if we will, but I want to embrace that. I want to embrace a couples retreat experience called Couples Camp that we're going to have at Base Camp. It'll be unlike anything anyone's ever done in terms of couples coming together and bonding and growing their relationship. We're going to do a new thing. It's going to expand. Like, you're supposed to take couples like away to a resort. You're supposed to take couples away to some nice little place where there's hot tubs and spa treatments or something like that. No, we're going to take people to camp together and poop together in the woods together the way God intended. God bless America. And I believe people are going to grow like they've never grown before in the relationship or their future relationship. I want to take some crazy, crazy bike trips. One of the ultimate trips I want to take is New Zealand. I want to ride a bike in New Zealand. Now, I can't do it this year or next year because of our I'm In campaign commitments. We made a commitment. We knew that kind of outlay for that trip could not happen. I know I'm not getting any younger. I know that. I got to get that in at some point. But I also know we want to embrace the opportunity to fund the work of God that's happening through our church. So while I give up that trip momentarily, I'm also gaining, expanding my heart through giving, expanding my heart through generosity, expanding the joy of seeing people who see Jesus at a base camp and say, yeah, I funded that. I'm also able to step into places and see true, verifiable miracles I never would have thought of. I don't want to tell you all the plans that I have for 2017 because many of them are just between me and God right now. But I'm hoping that all of this stuff has added up for you to give you a thirst for 2017. To cause you to take advantage of every opportunity that comes in 2017 that's in alignment with where the trajectory of your life, where you want it to go. So I want to encourage you, before we get too far into 2017, take some time to personally reflect on 2016. Think about what happened that was a high point. What might have God taught you in there? And then set yourself a game plan to make the most of every opportunity in 2017. Man, I want the best for you. I want 2017 to be the best year of your life. But if it's unexamined, that can not happen. I believe Jesus loves you more than you can possibly understand. I believe he has an adventure for you that's beyond what your little mind could comprehend. And it starts with listening, with examining, and stepping out into the unknown. So let me pray for us before we close our time and before anything else happens in 2017. God, I want the best for every person who is with us in this time. I want the best. I want the best for their relational life. I want the best for their financial life. I want the best for their vocational life. I want the best for their physical life, for their emotional life, for every aspect of their humanity. May we be able to love you with with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Help us to see your opportunities this year. Help us to see how you moved in our last year. And God, all of us who call ourselves part of Crossroads, help us be one as we go into your territory in this coming year. You're good, you're patient, and I thank you for blowing the lid off our lives, God. I pray these things according to the character and reputation of Jesus. Amen.